Welcome to Audit IQ Update for June 3rd, 2026. I'm your host, Alex, and as always, we'll be delving into the world of monitoring for e-commerce merchants, covering every aspect from technical, operational, to sales, and more. Let's get into it. We've had a packed week in the e-commerce world, and I want to start with what I think is the most important security story of the past month, because it fundamentally changes how we need to think about protecting online stores. Security researchers at SANSEC have uncovered a novel payment skimmer that uses WebRTC data channels to steal payment information from e-commerce sites. Now, if you're not familiar with WebRTC, it's the technology that powers video calls and real-time communication in your browser. It's what makes Zoom work without a plugin, basically. And attackers have now figured out how to use those same peer-to-peer data channels to exfiltrate stolen credit card details from checkout pages. Here's why this is such a big deal. The primary browser-side defense against data exfiltration has been Content Security Policy, or CSP. You set up CSP headers to tell the browser which domains your page is allowed to communicate with, and if a malicious script tries to send data somewhere unexpected, CSP blocks it. It's been a cornerstone of web security for years. But WebRTC traffic doesn't go through the same channels as regular HTTP requests. It's peer-to-peer. And CSP rules simply don't apply to it. So this skimmer can steal payment data right under the nose of what many merchants consider their primary line of defense. The attack exploits something called the PolyShell vulnerability in Magento and Adobe Commerce, which allows unrestricted file uploads through the REST API. According to the Hacker News, the skimmer has hit approximately 56.7% of targeted stores. That number is extraordinary. And the payload itself is clever too. It's been found hidden inside SVG images and social media sharing buttons, things you'd never think twice about having on your pages. This brings me directly to the second major story of the week, which is the release of Magento Open Source 2.4.9 and Adobe Commerce 2.4.9, which came out on May 12th. This is a landmark update for the platform. It brings PHP 8.5 support, which is significant for performance and security. It replaces third-party OAuth libraries with native PHP OAuth functions, reducing external dependencies and improving the security posture of the core platform. And critically, it addresses the PolyShell vulnerability that the WebRTC skimmer exploits. But there's a broader shift here that I think is even more important for the Magento ecosystem long-term. Adobe has moved to a monthly security patch schedule starting in 2026. Previously, security patches came in larger, less frequent bundles, which meant vulnerabilities could sit unpatched for months. Monthly patches mean faster responses to emerging threats. However, it also means merchants need to be more disciplined about their update cadence. If you're still running updates quarterly, you could have 2 months of unpatched vulnerabilities at any given time. Now, I want to connect these security stories to something that might seem unrelated at first, but is actually deeply connected, and that's the performance and monitoring conversation that's been evolving rapidly. Shopify's performance team published their Web Performance Tools for 2026 guide, and it's a really thoughtful piece about what the essential monitoring toolkits should look like right now. They emphasize four pillars: real user monitoring data, AI-powered performance analysis, Chrome DevTools for debugging, and programmatic access through GraphQL for integrating performance data into your workflows. What I find interesting about Shopify's approach is the emphasis on real user data over synthetic testing. They're essentially saying that lab tests running Lighthouse locally or in a CI pipeline are necessary but not sufficient. You need to know how your actual customers experience your store on their devices, on their networks, in the real world. And I think that's exactly right, especially when you consider the INP data we're seeing. For those who need a quick refresher, INP stands for Interaction to Next Paint, and it replaced First Input Delay as Google's official responsiveness metric back in March 2024. It measures how quickly your page responds to user interactions, not just the first click, but every click, tap, and keyboard interaction throughout the entire session. Oh yeah. And for e-commerce sites, this is the metric that matters most for conversion. The numbers here are striking. Recent research shows that a 100 millisecond improvement in mobile page load speed can boost retail conversion rates by up to 8.4%. A 1 second delay reduces conversions by about 7%. Sites that pass all three core web vitals thresholds, LCP, INP, and CLS, see conversion rate improvements of up to 27% compared to those that fail. These aren't marginal differences. For a store doing $10 million in annual revenue, a 7% conversion improvement is $700,000. And here's where it gets really interesting. The cart abandonment data for 2026 shows that the overall abandonment rate is still hovering around 70%. That's barely changed in years. Baymard Institute's latest data shows that 22% of shoppers abandon their carts because the checkout process is too long or complicated, 17% because they don't trust the site with their credit card information, and here's one that I think often gets overlooked, the site having errors or crashing accounts for a significant chunk of abandonments too. These aren't just user experience problems. They're technical problems that manifest as revenue loss. There's a stunning figure from Optimus Tech that puts this in perspective. Payment failures impact 1 in 5 e-commerce orders, creating an estimated $47 billion in annual revenue leakage globally. $47 billion! And these aren't just declined credit cards. These are technical failures, timeouts, JavaScript errors in payment forms, broken integrations with payment gateways, third-party scripts that conflict with checkout functionality. Let me shift gears a bit and talk about some developments from the broader web platform that have e-commerce implications. CSS Tricks highlighted that Chrome 148 shipped with native lazy loading support for video and audio elements. Now, this might sound like a small browser update, but for e-commerce sites that use product videos, this is actually quite significant. Previously, if you wanted to lazy load video content, you needed a JavaScript library to handle it, which itself consumed main thread time and could degrade your INP score. With native lazy loading, the browser handles it without any JavaScript overhead. Think about a fashion retailer with video on their product listing pages, or an electronics store with demo videos on product detail pages. Those videos no longer need JavaScript just to defer loading. Or that's less main thread contention, better INP scores, and potentially better conversion, all from a browser update that merchants don't need to do anything to benefit from, other than adding a loading equals lazy attribute to their video tags. CSS Tricks also picked up on an interesting controversy around Google's new Modern Web Guidance initiative. Adrian Roselli published a piece questioning whether developers should blindly follow Google's web development recommendations, noting that Google's guidance sometimes prioritizes Chrome-specific patterns over genuine web standards. The piece argues that Google's expert-vetted guidance for AI coding agents could bake in assumptions that don't serve all users equally. It's a fair criticism, and for e-commerce developers, it's a reminder that best practices should be validated against real user data from your specific audience, not just accepted from any single source, even Google. Speaking of measuring what matters, Smashing Magazine kicked off June with a feature on measuring accessibility maturity. It's written by Dennis Deacon, and it explores frameworks for assessing how mature an organization's accessibility practices are. What struck me about this piece is how directly applicable the methodology is to performance monitoring. The article asks, how do you move from reactive, one-off fixes to a systematic, continuous approach? And that question applies equally whether you're talking about accessibility compliance or performance optimization or security monitoring. The most mature organizations treat all of these, performance, accessibility, security, as continuous measurement problems, not projects with end dates. They monitor, they measure, they improve, and they do it on an ongoing basis. The organisations that only audit quarterly, or worse, only when something breaks, are the ones that get caught out by things like the WebRTC skimmer, or by gradual performance degradation that silently erodes conversion over months. Now, over on Practical E-commerce, there were two articles this week that I think are worth mentioning. The first is about why European e-commerce brands often fail when they expand into the US market. The key insight is that European and American consumers make buying decisions very differently. European shoppers tend to be deliberate evaluators. They compare, research, and decide carefully. American shoppers want the decision to feel easy and confident. They want reassurance, social proof, and frictionless experiences. What's interesting about this from a monitoring perspective is that frictionless experience is not just a design philosophy, or it's a technical requirement. The tolerance for errors, slowness, and jank is arguably lower in the US market because of the expectation of seamlessness. If your site has a JavaScript error that causes a button to not respond on the first click, a European shopper might click again. An American shopper might leave. The second practical e-commerce piece covers Google's Preferred Sources feature, which allows searchers to designate websites they trust and want to see more frequently in search results. Sites flagged as preferred see increased visibility in AI-generated answers and likely greater trust from those users. For e-commerce sites, this creates an interesting flywheel. If your site is fast, reliable, and trustworthy, users are more likely to flag it as preferred, which increases your visibility, which drives more traffic, which generates more revenue. But the inverse is also true. A site that generates errors, feels slow, or seems untrustworthy won't earn those preferred designations. Let me bring all of these threads together because I think there's a really clear theme emerging from this week's news. The line between security, performance, and revenue is not just blurring, it's essentially disappeared. A WebRTC skimmer doesn't just steal payment data, it erodes the trust signals that drive Google's preferred source designations and customer loyalty. Poor INP scores don't just hurt your Google rankings, they directly reduce your conversion rate by percentages that translate to hundreds of thousands or millions in lost revenue. Cart abandonment from technical errors isn't just a UX problem, it's a $47 billion global revenue leak. And the common thread through all of it is monitoring. Specifically, the kind of monitoring that watches your e-commerce store the way your customers experience it, from the browser in real time, across every page of the shopping journey. Not just whether the server is responding, but whether the checkout form actually works. Not just whether the page loads, but whether it responds to interactions quickly enough. Not just whether your CSP headers are set, but whether something unexpected is happening on your payment page. This is exactly what we're focused on at Audit IQ. We believe that e-commerce monitoring needs to evolve beyond server metrics and synthetic tests to encompass the full customer experience. Because in 2026, the threats are more sophisticated, the performance bar is higher, and the revenue impact of getting it wrong is larger than ever. That's your Audit IQ update for June 3rd, 2026. If any of this sparked a question or you want to learn more about e-commerce monitoring, you can find us at auditiq.cloud. We'll be back next week. Until then, keep monitoring.